It's like this crazy love-hate relationship with the industry. It's a family, basically.
Right.
You form your own family.
Right.
When you work in the industry, and it's hard to get away from it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Total Michigan, where we interview ordinary Michiganders doing some pretty extraordinary things. I'm your host, Cliff Duvenois. So I posted online that I was in Port Huron. The overwhelming response from people was, hey, are you going to the Raven Cafe? And of course, my answer was yes, not only because I like unique places, but I just happen to be a fan of the writing of Edgar Allan Poe ever since I got exposed to it way back in high school days. But what intrigued me about this particular story is that it really is a tale of two owners, one who had a singular vision to bring something truly unique to Port Huron, and another who had a vision of how to run this beautiful tavern. Because sometimes the same people who build something aren't exactly the best people to run it, and so by recognizing their strengths and their weaknesses has allowed both owners to serve their community at a much higher level. And that's what we're going to be exploring today with our guest, Sadat Hossein, the owner of the Raven Cafe in Port Huron. Sadat, how are you?
I'm happy. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. Thank you for asking. So why don't you tell us, what is the Raven Cafe?
The Raven Cafe has a full espresso bar. We have a full spirits and beer and wine bar as well. We do sandwiches, entree-sized salads, pizzas, everything, basically. And we're the only place in town that does both espresso and spirits at the same time. So you get all sorts of, like, infused coffee drinks and all that good stuff.
You also do live music here.
Oh, yeah. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we have live music. It's generally coffee house fare, you know, like, you know, singer-songwriter kind of stuff.
Right.
Once in a while, we'll have a full band, but usually it's just solo artists.
Right.
Sometimes a blues band. Sometimes we'll have electronic artists, but...
Like a real eclectic mix.
Absolutely.
Of artists. There isn't one genre you stick to. It's just, are you good? And come in and play.
Yeah, absolutely. The cat that does our booking knows a lot of folks from Detroit and gets them up here. And
oh, cool.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about where are you from? Where did you grow up?
Oh, I grew up in Port Huron. Yeah, I did my undergrad in Detroit as a sound engineer, but I've been working in kitchens and restaurants since I was 13.
Right.
And so I know the industry, and I got my degree in sound engineering, but I wanted to go with what I liked to do.
Right.
Like working in restaurants, basically. You know, I realized I was making more money doing that, and that was my passion. You know, bartending and cooking and things like that. So I stuck with that.
Why did you decide to get your degree in sound engineering?
That's what I wanted to do. In fact, my dream was to do live sound for concerts.
Oh, okay.
And things like that. But then, you know, everybody that I worked with told me that I would have to be unionized. I'm like, I don't want to do that.
I just want to work.
Exactly. And I was making more money, frankly, doing bartending and cooking. So I started working at the Raven. The owner is a retired attorney, and he had more fun building the place than he did running it. And he was, frankly, not so good at running it. So I became his manager, and I pulled it out of the red into the black. And then we struck a deal, and I bought it.
So now, so to go back a little bit here, so the attorney bought this building, but it doesn't look like it, at that time, it doesn't look like it looked today, because this is a massive renovation he did here.
Oh, no, he did great. He did absolutely great building it. Like, this was a 10-year renovation. He did an amazing job on it. This is all built with wood from his own lot. You know, he had a portable sawmill, and he...
Who has a portable sawmill?
Apparently Gerald Edson. So all the wood that's in here, and, you know, it's stained, it's beautiful, and he did a really good job building the place.
One of the things that struck me when I first came in here was how, in my mind anyways, this has like a really, like a New England feel to it.
Yeah.
This place, when you walk in, it's not like, you know, just because we're in the theme of Edgar Allan Poe, it's not just a bunch of books sitting on a shelf, but it actually feels like a New England style, like bar or pub.
Well, Gerald, let's see, he did his undergrad at U of M and then he went to Harvard. So he was on East Coast.
Yes.
And that's when he fell in love with the whole feel. And I mean, it checks out when you look around because it feels like that kind of New England situation.
Right. Now, how did the Edgar Allan Poe influence come onto the cafe? Where did that come from?
That was also from Gerald. Gerald, I mean, he kind of had a penchant for the macabre.
There you go.
Yeah. And he influenced it into here. And if you look at the menu, all of the sandwiches and salads are named after Poe.
Short stories, yep.
Short stories, salad, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, for this particular place here, I know you talked before about how you've been working in restaurants. So it was like, did your parents own a restaurant? Did you just wander into a restaurant and say, you know, when you're 12 or 13, and say, I need a job, I'm really 16? How did that work?
Oh, no. When I was 13, I lived down the road from a country club. And I went washed dishes and prepped at the country club. And, you know, I just kind of fell in love with the industry. I did retail for a little bit.
Yeah.
But then when I went to Detroit for university, I paid my rent, bartending and cooking.
Right. What do you think it was about working in restaurants and the service industry that made you fall in love with it?
Have you ever seen The Bear? Have you watched The Bear?
No, I don't think so, no.
It's amazing. It's like this crazy love-hate relationship with the industry. It's like, it's a family, basically.
Right.
You form your own family.
Right.
When you work in the industry, it's hard to get away from it.
You find that you spend a lot of your time here with the same people and having to deal with a lot of personal drama.
Personal drama, interpersonal drama, and you form your own relationships. And it's just, you know, it's another family.
Sure.
You get another family out of it.
You said you were going to university down in Detroit. How did you wind up coming back here to Port Huron?
My old man got sick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he got sick, and then shortly after, my mother got sick with inoperable cancer. So I'm here taking care of them as well.
Okay. And then how did you wind up coming to work here at the Raven Cafe?
Oh, this is the... I mean, as soon as I moved back, they needed a server. So a friend of mine, a childhood friend of mine, recommended me because I needed work while I was there. And so I got hired immediately. And then I just worked my way up the ladder. I started booking music first. Then started managing. And then when Gerald wanted to sell, I sold.
What would be some of the things that really surprised you? Because I know you said you were in sound engineering and got your degree in that.
Right.
But when you go from, you know, sound engineering, you can control everything mm-hmm. on that board, the soundboard, to all of a sudden now you're having to manage people.
That is kind of, I mean, I don't know. I've been told that I'm a suicidal empath.
I'm learning a lot today.
Right. So, I mean, I'm trying to, you know, like, balance the HR situation with all of these other cats that are working here that, you know, you know, I can smooth the hard edges.
Right. And so you worked here. You said you worked your way up the ladder. At what point did you and the former owner, this attorney, like, connect? I mean, did he say he was going to put it on the market and you jumped up and said, hey, I'd like to get it? Did he come to you? How did that work?
He put it on the market. He asked for way too much. There were a couple of cats that, you know, asked him about it, and it was marked up. But like I say, I was the manager beforehand, so he realized how much I did for the business, so he cut me a deal on it. Like, it was about half of the asking price.
Oh, well, that's kind of cool. And did it work out to be one of these things where, you know, did you have the money? Did he offer, like, finance part of it? Is he still a part owner in this? How did that work?
Oh, no. It was a turnkey situation where I found a private investor and I, just picked it up.
Lock, stock, and barrel.
Correct. Liquor license, the units upstairs, all of that.
And then all transferred over to you, no problem.
Correct.
Yeah, cool.
Actually, it's funny because I drove with my current bookkeeper to Lansing to get the liquor license, and the fax didn't go through.
Oh, of course
so,
not.
Exactly. So I got a bon me next door to the office and grumbled, and then I drove back myself and got it the next day. And on my way back, I got a burger and I was happy.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. Cool. And then I guess my next question would be is when you take over complete ownership of the place, what was some of the things that maybe surprised you or challenges that popped up that maybe you just...
Since I had been managing so long, it kind of was no secret to me.
Okay.
So I knew what was going on. I knew what I was getting myself into. Aside from being here 7 days a week.
Was the previous owner, was he kind of like an absentee?
Yes.
Owner?
Absolutely.
He was just like, man, I just want you to run it. I'm going to go play golf today.
Oh, no. He would, he would still be in here, like,
right,
lording over everybody. But it took a lot of the weight off of his shoulders. And I could tell that.
Right.
When I was managing it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, for our audience, we're going to take a quick break and thank our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to talk about how Sadat managed to fit the Raven Cafe into the eclectic culture that is Port Huron, the impact that they're having on the local music scene, and also what you can expect when you come here. We'll see you after the break. Are you enjoying these amazing stories? Michigan is full of people that are doing some pretty extraordinary things. If you want these amazing stories sent directly to your inbox, head over to totalmichigan.com, enter your email address, and get them today. What are you going to get? I'm glad you asked. First, you're going to join our awesome Michigan community. Second, you will get an email that includes the top 5 interviews from the show sent directly to your inbox. This is going to include the powerful lessons that we've learned from these amazing people. Third, you're going to get exclusive behind-the-scenes information about the show. There's a lot of things that are happening to grow this movement beyond the confines of just a radio show and a podcast. You'll get advance notice of upcoming guests and early access to their interviews. You'll also get a link to our Facebook group. Now, to get all these goodies, just head over to totalmichigan.com/join. Enter your email address and join our community today. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Total Michigan, where we interview ordinary Michiganders doing some pretty extraordinary things. I'm your host, Cliff Duvenois. Today, we're talking with Sadat Hossein, owner of the Raven Cafe in Port Huron, Michigan. So, Sadat, when I was lining up interviews in Port Huron, and I was talking to Carol from the Foundry, Andrew from Port Huron Museums, Gary Warwick from Warwick Mask, and I would tell them, I'm like, hey, I'm going to be doing an interview at the Raven Cafe. All of them said, with Sadat? Oh, that's cool. So it seems like you've got quite the reputation of being very active in this community, a bit of a rock star, so to speak, which is absolutely great. What I would like to do is, if you would, tell us, what are your thoughts about how the Raven Cafe fits into the Port Huron community? And also, would you tell us some of the things that you are doing in the community?
Well, this is a very unique spot that I run. And, you know, I'm here 7 days a week, so folks see me, They know what I'm doing. They see what I'm doing every day. And to top it off, we're kind of a hub for the arts and music community.
Oh, cool.
And drag. And, you know, we were the first ones to host drag nights and pride nights and things like that. So, you know, we try to be all inclusive here. And that has worked to our advantage.
Because it's someplace that everybody comes.
Correct. 8 to 80. Maybe older. Who knows?
Who knows? And I know that part of your thing, and we talked a little bit about this before in the first segment, was, you know, you started here, and one of the first things you were doing was booking bands. How important is that to have that live music element here?
I grew up flipping through the phone book with my, you know, garage bands, looking for, like, halls for rent and things
right.
like that. And I always wished that there was a venue for local bands to play at. And once I acquired this venue, it's, you know, it's a fairy tale story.
Right.
After that.
And then now, because usually when, if you're thinking about, you know, oh, I'd like to book local bands and I wish I had some place to play. Are you a musician? Are you in a band?
I am. I do a lot of musical theater stuff. I have a theater company, pit bands for musical theater. We also play a lot of gigs. We had the longest running open mic night at a pub that's just on the other side of the bridge from here.
Right.
And it was the only full band open mic night. And we would just back, you know, we'd back everybody that came in. You know, it's like, okay, you know, you want to play Fred Bear? We'll do it. Begrudgingly.
Right. Well, you said you're everybody, eclectic taste of music.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, we just back that up.
Talk to us about some of the bands that you had come and play here that really stand out to you.
Oh, goodness. We have a regular set of cast that come through. I've offloaded my duties of booking, but we still have some regular bands. Still Running is one of them. They do everything from the Decemberists to the Avett Brothers and the Flaming Lips, things like that. There's an award-winning fingerstyle player, William Henry Russell, and he just plays classical music, like, on the guitar, and it's amazing.
Hey, listeners, Cliff here. I just want to give you a quick sneak peek as to some great upcoming interviews that you are absolutely going to love. Next week, we've got a winemaker who does things just a little bit differently, allowing you to customize your wine to your liking, even if you want to have your own label. Then, it's the Memorial Cup, one of the biggest events in hockey, and it is coming to Saginaw. And we're going to be talking to the general manager of the Saginaw Spirit hockey team as to how they won this multi-million dollar boost to the Great Lakes community. These are two episodes that you just will not want to miss. Make sure to hit the subscribe button. Catch us at the same time on this radio station. And now, back to the show. The next question I got for you is, if somebody is coming here and never been here before, what can they expect when they come through the door?
Usually I see everybody just kind of looking around in bewilderment. Because
which was me.
Yeah. There's just a lot to look at. There's a lot of stuff to see on the walls, a lot of stuff to take in at first. They don't know what to do because there's just so much stuff all over the place. It's very
right.
eclectic.
Yep.
And then, you know, once they take a seat, it's full table service. Menus are at every table. And it's a 7-page food menu, a 5-page beverage menu. So there's a lot to take in if you haven't been here before. So
the one thing that really surprised me when I came in here was the fact that you guys have a second floor with a lot more seating, which is actually where we are right now. But you guys got a second floor with a lot more seating up here. And it just makes the place feel so much bigger.
Yeah, absolutely. Gerald did a really good job renovating this building. Originally, The first floor was, it housed a radio station. And then the second floor and the lofts above were dance studios. At one point there was a leather worker that worked upstairs too, as well. So, I mean, it's been a few things, but Gerald gutted the whole place and he did a fine job with it. So.
And another thing that really struck me is, because, you know, and I talked before about really good use of space, but even like how the tables are arranged, how the benches are arranged, and how you've even got seats right here that are facing towards the musician. This really is like, you know, I got to give a shout out to the former attorney, Gerald, that he really just took a lot of time to really like map this place out and make it really something special.
Oh, it was a 10-year renovation. We have an upright piano that's on the stage, and the stage is on a loft. People have to bring their stuff up a fire ladder.
I guess they do.
To get up there. But to get the piano in, he took the entire facade off, slid the piano in, and then rebuilt the facade.
Hence the reason why it took 10 years.
Correct. That and everything else.
And for the people that are coming here, because you talked about this 7-page menu that you have, and it is packed full of food. What would be some of the key dishes that you would recommend people to try when they come here?
The signature sandwich, quote unquote, is the House of Usher. Like, ooh. I say, all of the food is, you know, named after Poe stuff. It's basically like a Thanksgiving dinner in a sandwich. But one of the big sellers is the California Club, which is cream cheese, turkey, and spinach, and veggies and stuff. That's good. The salads are huge. My personal favorite is the Oval Portrait.
Ooh.
It's a spinach salad with a warm bacon and balsamic dressing. Another big seller is the Pit and the Pendulum Reuben. It's a stacked Reuben. I've also been told that we have not only the best oatmeal, it's loaded with nuts and dried fruits, and also the French dip.
Right.
With mushrooms and onions. And, I mean, that's another big hit.
And it seems like it's a real solid mix of what you would consider to be kind of like comfort food,
mm-hmm.
and also lighter fare as well.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a little of everything. The only thing we don't have are fried items.
Right.
We don't do that. We don't do fries. We don't do wings. We don't do tenders, you know. But for the kids, we got stuff. We've got an extensive breakfast menu. Build your own breakfast sandwiches. The breakfast belt, it's basically like a BLT with an egg on it.
Right.
That's a big one. Breakfast pizzas with, you know, it's got a base of Alfredo sauce with some egg on it and your choice of protein.
Right. And then what about, like, what are some, like, maybe, like, signature events that you have going on through the year? Is there just something that you have on the calendar, like every, you know, July we have these events or something, or is it?
In the community, in July, there is the Mackinac races, you know.
Yes.
Like the race from Port Huron to Mackinac, and the whole area explodes for that. So we usually have something going on for that, like a special or whatever. Drink specials, and we also do seasonal cocktails. So right. It's usually centered around those things.
Right. Yeah, because that's coming up here pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Awesome. So, Sadat, if somebody's listening to this and they want to connect with you, you know, find you online, maybe even come and visit the Raven Cafe, please do. Where can they go?
We have all the social medias. The big one is Facebook. If you look up Raven Cafe, there is coincidentally also a Raven Cafe in Arizona. And oddly enough, I was in contact with a woman that was trying to plan her bridal shower, and she thought she was talking to Arizona.
Oh.
So it was a week beforehand. I was in contact with her for 3 weeks, And she's like, so do we just go down I-90? I'm like, no, no, you're talking to the wrong Raven Cafe. She's like, oh, no.
Yeah, with a week to go, that would be a panic button right
there. It was. Never heard from her again. I apologized up and down.
Yeah. And what's the address here? People want to find you that way.
932 Military Street, Port Huron, 48060.
And you can't miss it when you drive by.
Nope. There's a giant wooden facade, a big old wooden bird out front, south side of the drawbridge.
Sadat, thank you so much for taking time to chat with us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Cliff.
And for our audience, you can always go to TotalMichigan.com, click on Sadat's interview, and get the links that he mentioned above. Also, you can connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Total Michigan. If you want to see the video version of this podcast with all kinds of great footage, find us on YouTube at Total Michigan. We'll see you next week when we talk to another ordinary Michigander doing some pretty extraordinary things. We'll see you then.